Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
I have a computer sitting next to me right now full of audio that I have not used, and we're going to get to some of it here, like my friend Scott Jennings on the legacy of Jimmy Carter. I said in the 4 o'clock hour, if you can't say anything nice, you know, weren't we taught that? So I didn't say anything about Jimmy Carter. I'll let Jennings say it here in a couple of minutes. But also a lot of audio from, you know, some of the investigations in New Orleans and in Las Vegas as well. And along those lines, let's welcome in former St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch, who is also a former county councilman. There's a lot of local stories that we can talk about. But Happy New Year, Chief. How are you?
Happy New Year, Mark.
Let's kind of, before we get to the local angle with the new prosecutor, just reaction to New Orleans and Las Vegas and these two different cases, which may be related. We're not exactly sure because there's been a lot of confusion in the last 24 hours, hasn't there?
Definitely. And I think there was a lot of pre-planning that they did in New Orleans, but they didn't think it all the way through. And I hate to be critical after the fact on situations like this, but they probably set up that area in the French Quarter, and I've been there many times, like they have 100 times and nothing bad happened. And this is one of those situations where this guy or people took advantage of that. And I have seen the video where he goes around the police car that's blocking Bourbon Street and then drives down the Bourbon Street and striking all the people. And yes, they should have had that sidewalk covered and they did not. When I did the Bush-Gore presidential debates at Washington University, we used St. Louis County Department of Transportation trucks, like snowplows and dump trucks.
Oh, right, right.
And we blocked all those roads around the access to the gymnasium there at Washington University and included the sidewalks. We drove those trucks up onto the sidewalks. So you had a choice if you wanted to get around, hit a brick wall or hit one of those dump trucks. So nobody was getting through there. So this individual probably did. We've talked before about how these individuals plan these things. And he did some surveillance and watched to see where the openings were and took advantage of it. Simple as that.
So that's interesting what you said about the debates. Was that protocol that was implemented from the feds? Was that something you guys came up with? How did that happen?
That is something since we took care of all the exterior, the perimeter roads of Washington University, that was up to us to secure. So I had to go to the Secret Service and tell them what my plan was of what I wanted to do to protect the venue. And they said, that sounds good to us. Go ahead and do it. Now, we did keep a driver in each of those vehicles in case we had to move the truck quickly to, like, for example, when the motorcade came in, two motorcades came in for both candidates, we had to move the trucks to allow them by there. And if there was any kind of emergency, like an ambulance needed to get in or anything like that, we had the drivers readily available. So they may not have had that kind of manpower and equipment available to them in New Orleans, or they thought we probably won't need it. We haven't needed it 100 other times we've done this. So they just, I wouldn't tell you they played it cheap. But they didn't, you know, think of like the 911 commission report. I don't know if you've ever read that thing. It was a failure of imagination is why 911 happened. Now, can you block off the sidewalks of Bourbon Street and then somebody land a drone and explode it in the middle of Bourbon Street? And we hadn't thought about that. Sure. We could do this all day long. The what ifs.
Right. Yeah, you almost feel like, you know, you mentioned 9/11. So I thought about this even a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, I'll say this out loud because I think a lot of people are thinking it to themselves. When there was that attack in Germany at the Christmas market with the guy that plowed over a bunch of people. And then I thought back instantly to what happened in Waukesha, Wisconsin a few years ago in that, you know, Thanksgiving Day parade. And I think I've thought to myself, man, I'm surprised, you know, Chief, that this doesn't happen more often where someone uses the car as the weapon, because you can see how damaging it can be. and how much damage you can inflict in a short time. So it may not surprise me that this is happening, but then you kind of go down the path where I've even heard some public officials refer. Are we going to have this reaction now where everything that happens in every major, you know, city, whether it's a parade or a big festival or, you know, whatever we have left here in St. Louis, because we don't have a Lou Fest or anything like that anymore, will you have more protections that are put in like this to barricade the areas?
How many times have you been to Mardi Gras in Soulard? Would that be an opportunity? Yeah.
Yes, it would.
Yeah. That would be an opportunity because you have all those rows and rows and rows of people lined up. And the only thing separating them from the road is bicycle racks. And those are crowd control. Just like that New Orleans police vehicle, that was parking control and access control. It wasn't terrorist control. So they didn't set it up thinking a terrorist could attack. They set it up thinking we don't want anybody to enter this area because there's pedestrians you know, those type of things. So I don't think they went into it thinking, but I guarantee you now, anytime there's a big event where there's lots of people on foot, and by the way, the Christmas market thing in Germany, the Berlin Christmas market, I mean, I don't know why anybody goes to a Christmas market anymore in Germany, because that's where these things continue to happen over and over and over. So when I do the active assailant training in Europe, I talk to them about vehicle attacks, not so much firearm attacks. So I was kind of expecting to hear President.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I was kind of expecting to hear President Biden say we need to outlaw all the F-150s. So this doesn't happen again. I didn't hear anything like that this time.
Let me move to, and point well taken, I get it there. Let me move to Vegas. Any interesting observations there? Because it certainly seems like maybe these are related, but they're not definitively saying that. There's coincidences, perhaps. Thoughts on that, Chief?
Well, the relation would be, at the very least, you use a Musk vehicle in front of a Trump building, and you blow yourself up. I mean, it doesn't have to be directly related to what happened in New Orleans, but Mark, you've heard me talk about this before on Pathway to Violence. When you have one of these incidents happen, like New Orleans, there's a very high likelihood within 2 weeks another one will happen, another type of event. Because as I describe it, people like the guy in Las Vegas are sitting on the edge of their seats just waiting to do something, and that kind of inspires them to do it. Doesn't have to have the same ideology of the guy in New Orleans, but it pushes them over the edge. They're like, now's my time. Look at all the response. The country is focused on this. I can do this in front of Trump Tower and make a name for myself. That's why they do these things.
Former San Luis County Police Chief Tim Fitch, you no doubt saw the video and heard the audio of the shooting outside the Wheelhouse, which used to be Joe Buck's restaurant right down on Spruce, not too far from Busch Stadium. And reaction to that, which is pretty typical, certainly on holidays in the middle of the night in St. Louis.
You know, another reason why there's no good reason to go to downtown St. Louis after dark. It's as simple as that. When you have these kind of events going on down there, these things continue to happen. And you might ask, why is a Ledington, Missouri police officer working secondary security at a downtown St. Louis site?
Yes.
My guess is because the St. Louis Police Department is too short-staffed to be able to cover that, or they don't want to cover it because they know the type of issues that are going to happen there. So it will attract some of the lower paid police departments from the region. That's pretty far away, Ledington. But these guys are probably making more on their side gig than they're making at the police department in Ledington, would be my guess. So that's why they continue to be able to attract people, officers like that. And I'm not saying that's a negative thing. The officers, best I could tell from the video, you know, were doing the job that they were hired to do. But the real question is why do you have a Ledington police individual, you know, working in the city of St. Louis? And I put that right back on the city.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, now to our St. Louis County stories. The first one, I talked to Jane about this. We're going to cover it on the roundtable tomorrow. The felony charges that have now been issued against St. Louis County Clerk Diane Valenti in this whole Dennis Hancock situation. Am I missing something here? What the hell is going on? This is baffling.
This is all political. There's no doubt about it. It's lawfare as I see it. I will tell you that I would assume tomorrow, is it tomorrow? I think it is tomorrow Wesley Bell gets sworn in, right, in Congress?
Yeah, I think so.
I would assume, and I would assume that the new prosecuting attorney, Melissa Smith, will be sworn in tomorrow as well and take her seat as the prosecuting attorney of St. Louis County. And I would assume Sam Page will have Court Van Osteren do the exact same thing, trying to say, well, we have two different prosecutors now until the Supreme Court, unless they have an opportunity to hear this between now and swearing in tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see
really,
what happens tomorrow.
You think the dynamic, so just to catch people up, though, there was an appellate ruling today that upheld the lower ruling that says that Governor Parson has the power to appoint the next St. Louis County prosecutor. But it would be an interesting why does Sam want to do this? I mean, you know him better than I do. What the hell is going on? So he wants to make this a big circus and have the other prosecutor up there. Even Wesley Bell issued a statement before Christmas saying, look, I'm kind of out of this deal right now. Melissa would be a great prosecutor.
Yeah, well, I think what Wesley did is he's doing like a typical politician, trying to cover all bases. However, I also agree that Melissa would be the best person for that role, and I think she'll do a great job. And I think she needs to take her rightful place in that seat tomorrow after Wesley is officially out. And so my guess is Diane Valenti case will go away shortly thereafter.
Yeah, I think you told me that a couple of weeks ago. But how about this dynamic where even the crazy, kooky people like Lisa Clancy think that that's pretty effed up?
Yeah, but you got to understand Sam's ego. That's number one priority, and he will use unlimited tax dollars to support his ego. And for him, a win is a win is a win, no matter who's paying for it. And by the way, I would challenge anybody to tell me of one case that Sam Page has filed where he's won. I'll wait.
Well, that's a good, you know what? But see, that's the playbook, right? He doesn't really sometimes care if he wins. They just do what they're going to do.
That's right. It's your money. It's your tax dollars. It's my tax dollars. We're paying for this. And the council, I think, you're going to see some serious changes on the council when that new council comes on board next week. They're going to stop him from being able to hire attorneys just at his own whim to do things like these kind of lawsuits. Yeah. They're going to stop it.
Chief Tim Fitch, thank you so much for the updates this afternoon. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right, take care. Let me get a little, because I have audio cut of the day coming up here in a second. We'll eliminate some of the contenders, but I do want to get some of the audio from New Orleans and Las Vegas that I haven't aired today. This is down in New Orleans where, and here's the other thing that's interesting. I think the guy's name is Raya, but the FBI guy is named Christopher Raya. So it's not like W-R-A-Y, but it's R-A-I-A, which is kind of confusing.
This was an act of terrorism. It was premeditated and an evil act. We do not assess at this point that anyone else involved in this attack is involved in this attack except for Shamsuddin Jabbar.
So they acknowledge the ISIS connection.
Investigators believe Jabbar picked up the rented F-150 in Houston, Texas on December 30th. He then drove from Houston to New Orleans on the evening of the 31st. And he posted several videos to an online platform proclaiming his support for ISIS. There were 5 videos posted on Jabbar's Facebook account, which are time-stamped beginning at 1:29 a.m. and the last at 3:02 a.m. In the first video, Jabbar explains he originally planned to harm his family and friends, but was concerned the news headlines would not focus on the, quote, war between the believers and the disbelievers, end quote. Additionally, he stated he had joined ISIS before this summer. He also provided a will and testament.
You know, I mentioned Sue earlier, we lost a member. Odyssey is a big broadcasting company. We have radio stations all around the country. We did lose a member of our company, Billy DeMeo, who's 25 years old, an Odyssey employee at one of the stations in the cluster that we have down in New Orleans. He was an account executive. This guy, Christopher Ray, talked about the truck and what was recovered.
3 phones linked to Jabbar have been recovered, and digital media exploitation is a priority to see what is on the devices and determine if there are any other potential leads. We have recovered 2 laptops and are currently reviewing them for any potential leads.
So this is the guy that swoops in after yesterday's debacle with the people that don't seem like they're competent at all down in New Orleans. But one of the things that everybody recognized pretty quickly is, no, there's no terrorism here. Wait a second. Isn't that an ISIS flag that we're seeing?
Evidence technicians will also be going over the F-150 truck Jabbar was driving. As you know, we recovered an ISIS flag from the back of the vehicle. Jabbar declared his support for the terrorist group on social media, as I stated before, as he made his way to New Orleans.
So what happened here, and what was the situation with the bollards in particular? There are these things that were being worked on, you know, to prevent cars from going into high, you know, populated areas with pedestrians, but they were working on all this technology, apparently.
We were able to build in bollard replacement into our Super Bowl infrastructure package. The city of New Orleans has moved forward with that infrastructure that is nearing completion. Bollards were not up because they are near completion, with the expectation of being completed.
We knew that these were malfunction, so we did indeed have a plan, but the terrorist defeated it.
How about that for leadership down in New Orleans? Now, the first woman sounded, she was the police chief, she sounded like she was Kamala Harris there. Just
a little bit.
Word salad, right?
Yep.
So they weren't functioning. You couldn't use them at all. I think what Chief Fitch said was probably right. They, you know, you get into this complacency. We certainly saw it in Butler, Pennsylvania, right? There's complacency.
For sure.
We've done this a bunch of times, but how you can't be on high alert, and I'm not blaming law enforcement. This is certainly a command situation. There were plenty of cops down there and hopefully a lot of people that were trying to prevent bad things from happening. But I think we're learning very, very, you know, quickly here that the leadership is not what should probably be, you know, in effect down there in New Orleans or anywhere else. This is what Paul Morrow says. I think he's going to join us tomorrow. He says they blew it down there.
The truth of the matter is you can't secure every location in every city. But in this case, we don't have to speculate. The superintendent herself said we kind of blew it.
Yeah, she admitted it.
But New Orleans definitely needs to do, I would argue, is a couple of things. They have to look very hard at the protocols that were defeated here. Just as NYPD learned a lot the hard way post 9/11, we should be sharing all of that stuff, and you would have hoped it was going on before the event, learning how to secure, especially in regard to, let's say, a vehicle-borne attack like this, because we've been seeing them around the world.
I think I was alluding to this earlier, Sue, but we've come to a point, especially this week, where I do think you're going to have more people advocating for more strict measures at big events. And I'm not saying that's a bad idea, but what I am saying is that what we do, you know, the 9/11 connection is interesting to me because we're great at overreacting. And certainly we had an issue when you realize the terrorists were running amok in this country and they were training themselves to be pilots and
yep.
then they were, you know, flying planes into buildings. But I'm still not extremely convinced that the Department of Homeland Security, which is a monstrous government bureaucracy, has really helped us be a lot safer in this country. Now, we all have to go through this situation. We get on airplanes and we have to cooperate. But I've said this before, not to plant ideas in the terrorist minds. I just don't think 60 Minutes did a story about this years ago. It wouldn't be that difficult. If you really wanted to plot something, you could get in probably through the back door where they deliver magazines and food, and they don't have the level of security that you would expect in a situation like that. Yeah, we got the TSA agents making people take off their shoes, but that's probably not where the terrorists are hanging out anyway these days.
Our border has been pretty much wide open for the last 4 years. I mean, it wouldn't have been that difficult to get in.
No.
Now, in defense of Homeland Security, because I don't know anything either, but there may be stuff that we don't know about that they prevent. I don't know.
You would hope so.
Right?
I would at least
I would think there'd be a lot of that, too.
Yeah, but man, I'm, you know.
But you're right.
Just
it's
listening,
it's
listening to yesterday.
Job.
Just listening to the news reaction or the reaction from the officials down there left me, and this is coming off of 2024, and let's face it, we got Butler in 2024, you have all the other things that have happened with, you know, respect to experts in the last 4 years, you can go back to COVID or whatever, but there was no sense that I had in listening to these experts, the police officials in New Orleans, that anyone knew what the hell they were doing in any way, shape, or form. They just sounded completely lost.
Yeah.
It sounded like, you know, Keystone Cops down there.
Oh, that's
why the guy from the FBI kind of swoops in today and tries to take it in another direction. But I don't even think he was the best spokesperson up there pounding his fist on the table. Then there's Las Vegas. And, you know, they admitted that there's similarities.
We do know that our subject here served in the military. In fact, he's a current member of the military. Both of the subjects served at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. What we do know about that is it's a very large military base, and we have no record that they served in the same unit or even at the same years at Fort Bragg, something that continues to remain under investigation. I also know that they both served in Afghanistan in 2009. We don't have any evidence that they were in the same province in Afghanistan, the same location, or the same unit. Again, something else that remains under investigation. And we also know, of course, that they both used the rental company Turo to rent their vehicles.
So those are all the connections.
Huh.
And is all of that a coincidence? That's just very difficult for me to believe. Now, the other thing, and I covered this earlier, that, you know, these Cybertrucks are just so ugly. They really are.
But that's the point.
That is the point. And I guess the reason I bring it up is because this guy even pointed out that, you know, the truck itself only suffered damage inside.
The fact that this was a Cybertruck really limited the damage that occurred inside of the valet, because it had most of the blast go up through the truck and out. In fact, if you look on that video, you'll see that the front glass doors at the Trump Hotel were not even broken by that blast.
That's amazing. And I didn't even realize that until that guy said that. Now, the other thing that's interesting from a police standpoint, and this is where you have to wonder how anyone thinks they can get away with a crime in this day and age, but they have this truck and they can highlight it when they were holding this news conference, pulling down this part of the strip, pulling into this area, and then all of a sudden coming back to Trump Tower or to the Trump Hotel because they had been there before. And I start to think about, Sue, and you can even point to several things. We've mentioned a couple here. The assassination attempt in Butler. The Brian Thompson assassination. All of these things are caught on video.
Yeah.
What happened in New Orleans? What happened in Las Vegas? Video is putting a big exclamation point on all these things because everything is captured now by a camera somewhere.
It is, whether it's somebody's phone or an actual camera. But as Tim Fitch said, you know, that's what these people want, is the attention. Right?
Yeah.
So maybe that's a plus for them. If they're going to take themselves out, they don't care.
14 people dead in New Orleans. There are still at least 20 people in the hospital. Then in Las Vegas, it's a miracle that nobody else was killed except for the guy that put a bullet in his head and then blew up the Cybertruck. We got an audio cut of the day coming up next.
Get more at 971talk.com.